Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
All right, y'all have a seat. So glad that y'all are here this morning, and welcome to the Southwest. I know that the Lord is going to do great things this morning in your life, and before I invite the Mike and Kathy up to light our Advent candle, I just want to tell you about a couple of things just to get some business out of the way. It's business, but it's ministry. So out and around, outside the doors, back there on the table, there are lots of little handouts, lots of things for you to see. The first one is, here is a card that talks about our Christmas Eve service next weekend. You can grab that, you can take that, you can go give it to a family member, a friend, a stranger, leave it on a table at a restaurant, whatever you want to do. I didn't bring one up, but there are door hangers back there as well, right outside that door and inside that door. Here's my encouragement to you. You don't have to take 10. You don't have to take 20. Okay, I want you to take 2. If you want to take more, that's fantastic. I'm glad for that. But take 2, at least 2. And then when you get home this week, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, in the still of the night where nobody's watching you, there's no great evangelism here. You don't have to preach the gospel. You don't have to read scripture. Just sneak over to your neighbor's house and put that on their door. If you need to wear a ski mask because you're scared of them, that'll be entertaining on the Ring doorbells and all the security things that go through the neighborhood, but that'll just create more excitement. Amen? Okay, so take those and go stick them on somebody's door, all right? Now, yeah, just do that. I'm not even going to say anything else about that. Just do that, okay? There's also handouts back there for the men's retreat. You've seen those. We've talked about those. There's a QR code on the back. You just need to scan that and sign up. That is in February. And then finally, there's also these little bitty Christmas Eve invitations, and you can take those as well, set those out around somewhere for people to be invited. Here's what I want to say to you. Last year, we spent a pretty good deal of money. We mailed to 10,000 homes. We sent out thousands of emails. We did social media. We did door hangers. We did all of those things for Christmas Eve. And it was the people that showed up on Christmas Eve because of those flyers, guess how many came because of our social media and marketing campaign for Christmas Eve? Anybody shout out a number? How many? 20. Anybody want to do better than 20? 120. Y'all are so close because 0 new people came because of our social media campaign. Guess how people came? You invited them. You brought them. So guess how much money we spent on a campaign this year? 0. Because I'm counting on you to just invite somebody, a friend, a family member, bring somebody, go by and pick them up. It may be somebody that needs help getting here. It may be somebody that just may need a ride. It may be, I don't know who it is. But nobody comes to church unless they're personally invited or they already know who the Lord is and they're just looking for a new church home. So if you're watching online, I really encourage you to be here Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. You bring people. Come a little bit early because it gets crowded in here. It's candlelight. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. If I do say so myself, amen. The music is fantastic. Please say it's good.
The preaching is good, too.
The preaching's okay.
We worked that out ahead of time.
So all that to say is please invite somebody. Bring somebody to Christmas Eve. It's the easiest. Christmas Eve and Easter are the easiest times to ever get somebody in the church, all right, to get somebody introduced to Jesus. So if you'll do that, you'll raise your hand right now and you'll say amen. Lord, we do give you all the honor and glory and praise today. Lord, we come to you because you are the glory in the highest. There is nothing else that compares to you. There's nothing that we can set near you that even gets close to the glory that you have in all of the universe. Lord, all of the things of the world fail in comparison to your great love, your majesty, your royalty. Father, your divinity, your mercy, your goodness, your forgiveness, and your love. As we are here today, I pray that we would know that. Lord, I feel a little bit of a heaviness upon us in this room today. I don't know what that's about, but I just cast out that heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ, that nothing can stand in the way of what you want to do for your children today, for what you want to do among your people. Lord, for the glory that you have in store for every person in this room. Lord, that you would just remove our blinders. Lord, you'd remove the pressures of the world. You'd remove the heaviness of finances today, trying to figure out how to make everything come together and work for Christmas. Lord, whatever the family issues are, our health issues, Lord, that we would see you, that we would feel you, that we would know that you are among us, God with us. Not just Christmas Day thousands of years ago, but December 18th day, right now. Church, whatever you need to confess to the Lord in your heart and mind right now, just do it and let that go. Receive His forgiveness. Let that condemnation flow out of you and let His Holy Spirit flow into you. Some of you feel choked by the cares of the world. Right now, just take a deep breath of that freedom. Lord, it's in your holy and precious and wonderful and powerful name that I make my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above all names, all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You can try to get the sermon notes right now, but as of about an hour ago, you're still going to get last week's. There's something wrong with the service, and it won't switch over, so you might be able to try later in the week if you want to do what you normally do and text the word notes to our phone number and get those. And maybe they'll work right now. It wasn't working right before Sunday school, so I can't promise you that. As I always say, it's a free service, and we don't control it, so I'm just glad when it works. Amen. And so I just trust that the Lord will take care of that if you need those. I'm going to finish the scripture that Dallas started with this morning about the shepherds living out in the fields and how they went to Bethlehem. And I want to talk about these characteristics. It says, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Lots of characteristics. If you've been in church any amount of time through one or two Christmases, you've heard about the shepherds. I just want to point out a few characteristics that apply to us. Not the whole shepherd story, but just let's start with the term shepherd, okay? So that term shepherd really is very important for us because it talks about a person that guides, that feeds, that protects, that leads flocks, okay? And so when Jesus is called the good shepherd, he's talking about someone that guides, that feeds, that leads, that protects all of us, his flocks. And now also the idea of about a shepherd, you talk about sheep. If you've been around me any amount of time, you've heard me say that sheep are the what animal on the face of the planet? Dumbest animal on the face of the planet. Thank you, Dallas. You get the prize. They are. Every time a sheep blinks, they wake up in a whole new world. They don't know anything about nothing, okay? And sheep are scared of everything, all right? And so a shepherd, if you go to the 23rd Psalm and you hear he talking about Jesus, he leads me beside still waters. Even a shepherd has to bring the sheep to water because if there's just a little ripple, they're scared, okay? No alligators live in West Texas that I'm aware of, but a sheep, when they get to water and they see a little ripple, they think they're about to be eaten and they run. So this idea of a shepherd attending to their flocks, I want you to remember that for us here in just a few minutes. Shepherd also, these shepherds, now think about this. We often say that these shepherds were the down and out. I mean, they lived out in the country. They never came to town hardly, and if they did, you locked your doors and you protected your children because you were scared of the shepherds, okay, like some of you do when the carnival comes to town. Okay, y'all will get that later. And so these shepherds, okay, when you read this part of history, when you hear the scriptures, when you see what the angels said to the shepherd, how the Lord talked to them, they already had an understanding of who God was because of how they talked, okay? And so let me find what I want to say right here. Okay, I got my slides. But now look at this. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. All right, now we won't get into that, but it said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Now look at that, underlined, because the angel talked to them with an understanding that they already had. It's not like they didn't know what a Savior was going to be. It's not like when we get down to it here in just a minute, we'll go to the next one. It's not like they didn't know who the Messiah was. It's not like they didn't know when they said the Lord, okay? They didn't say a Lord. They didn't go through all these definitions and qualify and quantify. They just said, today, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. They knew. Now, I don't know when the last time the shepherds went to church, okay? I don't know what their spiritual background was. I don't know what their upbringing was necessarily, but it's apparent to me that just like you and me, they had an understanding. Now, however many shepherds there were, I don't know, okay? But just think about it. Let's just say there were five of them. Let's say there were four, just a group, a gaggle of shepherds, okay? They weren't all on the same page, just like all of us, okay? One of them may have been really spiritually mature. One of them may have been an infant. One of them may have not necessarily been a believer, but maybe they understood, or maybe they knew, maybe they had heard. Maybe some of them went on their days off, or if they got to town, they went by the synagogue, they went to the temple, they went to church. However, we want to try to remember that for the shepherds back in the day. They were all different, okay, but yet they had an understanding. Woo, just like us. Okay, I'm going to keep giving it to you and letting you understand that we are just like the shepherds in this story. Okay, and then when we keep going and he says, okay, let's go to the next one. When the angels had left them, okay, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go see this thing. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about. Now look, an angel is the one that appeared to him. If somebody wants to say that the shepherds were stupid and uneducated and didn't know anything about nothing, right? And they had no understanding of church, they had no understanding of God, it's not true. Because here an angel is talking to them and they know that it was a messenger from the Lord and it was a message of the Lord for them. Now that tells me that they were more in tune with what was going on in the world than maybe even some of us. Because I bet at some point, I really mean this, not for just a good preacher story, not to go along with the sermon. I bet you have been visited by an angel. An angel has told you something and you don't even know it. Because you weren't in tune with what was going on in your life. You weren't in tune with the spiritual reality, the spiritual dimension that we really do live in. I say this all the time, and it's usually at a graveside because it really speaks to us when we're going through loss and we're going through death. We really are. I want you to hear this. If we were created in the image of God, just like these shepherds, okay, that they were really no different than the angel, and here's why I believe this. If we're created in the image of God, we really are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let that sink in let me give you 5 seconds. And if we really are spiritual beings having a human experience, aren't we just like the way that God sent Jesus to us as a baby in a manger? And aren't we really just like the angel? And if we really are spiritual beings having a human experience, eventually, when these human experiences die, we are going to have to be that spiritual being again. Boy, this is heavy, isn't it? I think it's fantastic. I think this is the good news. The question is, are you going to spend that spiritual experience in hell without Jesus? Are you going to spend it in eternity with him? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But so they had an understanding. And look, this is how excited they were. They said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. So here's what I said last week, is at the beginning of the gospel, it really was a come and see spirituality. But eventually, it becomes a go and tell spirituality. It becomes something that lives in us that we want to share with others, and that's what they had. The shepherds had an urgency because when they had seen him, they went and spread the word about him. 3 weeks ago, I talked about Jesus said he was amazed twice. He was amazed at people's faithfulness, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. And it says when they went and told the story of Jesus, people were what? Amazed. They were amazed. It was beyond their comprehension, but they understood it. It was beyond the shepherd's comprehension, but they understood it. I hope for you, just as it is for me, all the time and studying and reading and going through scripture, it really is beyond my comprehension how this works, but I understand it. Right? I take it to my heart and I apply it to my life and I share it with others. And that's exactly what they did. Okay? Regardless of what their convictions have been up to this point, regardless of their sinfulness, regardless of their human nature, regardless of their family background, regardless of their lineage, their heritage, regardless of their jobs or their fortunes or their lack of fortunes, they figured out that God was talking to them. Are you listening to God talking to you today? And then finally, when we talk about this encounter, here's what I want to ask you, just for you to start thinking about. The point of them saying, right after they had seen him, they went and told. Are you really excited? Are you really ready to go and tell people about Jesus because of what you have seen happen in your own life? Are you really, really excited? Are you really, is it like an urgency inside of you to go tell somebody about your experience to show somebody who Jesus is, or are you just keeping it to yourself? Because if they had just kept it to themselves, then it's possible that part of the story would have stopped there. And so here's where I want to relate you to the shepherds today. Here's where I want to go take a deeper dive and get you to understand that from the angel to the shepherds to the apostles to you, that we're all on the same playing field. We all have the same guidance. We all have the same direction. And so I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. This is Paul writing to the people of the church of the city where the Thessalonians lived, and Thessalonica, a great, wonderful word. And he was trying to convince them that they were, okay, he doesn't say it, but that they were just like the shepherds, that they had the same calling that he had on his life, that the shepherds had on their life, that the angel had on his or her life, that God had sent, the same calling that Jesus had on his life was to deliver the good news, just like the calling that you have on your life. So this is where this whole idea of us being faithful becomes personal. Personal, not just that it drills down to us, but it becomes personal because it's about us offering it to others. It's about you sharing it. It's about you relaying who Christ is in your own life. For you yourself know, brothers and sisters, that our reception among you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been treated abusively in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God among such opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impunity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not intending to please people, but to please God who examined our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is our witness, nor did we seek honor from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our authority as the apostles of Christ. See, this, look, verse 2, verse 4, verse 8, and verse 9 all talk about the good news, right? The angel came saying, I bring you good news of great joy. When the shepherds went to see this thing that God had done, they went to see the goodness of God. When they went and told other people, they were sharing the good news. They were sharing the goodness of God. I think too many times we bring too much judgment on people and we share the judgment of God that is not ours to share when we should be sharing His goodness, when we should be sharing His love. And boy, right now in the world, isn't it so easy to do that? Because it's Christmas and you all feel so good and you want to pay for people's groceries when they're in line in front of you, or you want to buy extra presents, you want to do Toys for Tots, you do the grace tree, we want to give clean water to the world. And then in January, your credit card bills come and you go, crud, why did I give so much money to the church? Oh, come on, I know you do this. Okay, why did we give all that money away? Can we go find those people and get our can of beans back from them? Right? I mean, that's what we do, but in reality, it's not about that. It's about sharing Christ with them. You hear me say it all the time, and I mean it. You can buy people all sorts of things, but if you don't give them Jesus, then all you did was give them a belly full of food to go to hell. Did I just hear somebody groan? It's the truth. You can buy them great shoes. You can buy them water. You can do all of these things. But if we don't give them Jesus, right? And the shepherds knew this. The shepherds were like, I would love to know their background. I can't wait to get to talk to the shepherds and say, how did you know? How did you know? Because we know, but yet maybe we're not so quick to go and tell like the shepherds were. And look, there's two actions that God placed upon Paul, that He places upon us, that He placed upon the shepherds, that He placed upon everybody that knows. And that's what I want you to hear today. This is where it becomes personal. And you probably have never seen this in the scripture, but it's so important. Because what He says is, let me get to, let's see if I can find my underlines in here. Here we go. God, so all this, for our exhortation does not come from error or impunity, but way of deceit, because just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. See, you, just like Paul, just like the apostles, just like the disciples, just like the shepherds, the angel, God for some reason chose the shepherds to be entrusted with the first announcement of the good news of the birth of Christ. Entrusted those shepherds. Now imagine this. You know, so many times, I don't know if you see the pictures of the shepherds on the internet or if you look in children's books or whatever, but when the shepherds got the announcement, when the angel came, all these guys were sitting around a campfire, okay? I don't know how it really looked. I don't know what was going on, but He said, for some reason, He looked at the shepherds and He said, that's who I want to have the first message. That's who I want to entrust my word to. Wouldn't you have given it to somebody else if you were me? I mean, if you were in charge, wouldn't you have given it to the church people? Wouldn't you have given it to somebody that was close to Mary and Joseph? Wouldn't you have given it to somebody that had a little more understanding and a better knowledge and maybe a better reputation? Somebody that people didn't lock their doors and protect their children when they came to town, right? But yet, He looked at them and He said, let's start with those guys. And now He says, He looks at you and He says, let's continue it with you. Let's continue it with Mike and Kathy. Let's continue it with Carson. I'm just going to look around the room. Let's continue it with Clint. Let's continue it with little Jackson, even though he's back there, right? Then that's scary. Right? I mean, he says, let's continue it. And why is he looking at you saying, why is he picking you? Why is he picking me? Because he's entrusting it to us. And this word entrust, it's a great word. And I know that we should entrust our lives to Jesus and we should entrust who we are in Christ. But that's not what it's saying. When it says entrusting, it's this great Greek word. And this great Greek word really does mean to have faith in. He's entrusting us. He's having faith in you, right? He's having faith in me. He's having faith in every one of us to take this word and to give it to the world. To take this Christmas story, right? To take this story of God and the story of us and to go give it to the world. And he's saying, I mean, think about it. God had faith in the shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but this is the way I see everything, and I tell you this all the time. I like to think about how this got played out in heaven with the angels and with everybody else, and when God called the angels and said, hey, go tell the shepherds about the birth of my son, Jesus. Can you imagine what the shepherds, I mean, what the angels were doing? I mean, I bet they all looked at each other like, we're going to tell those guys? Why would we tell those guys? Why would we entrust all of eternity and the message of God to these yahoos? And I know that's exactly what they said the day that I got called to ministry. Are you kidding me? What? There are so many more people qualified. I mean, somebody that's better spoken and somebody that's got a better heritage and somebody that actually knows what they're doing and is not as boneheaded as this guy. Just choose somebody else. There's this great argument. And then there might have been a little side bet by some of the angels. Oh, my gosh. Watch these guys screw this up. How much you got on it? I got 5. I got 10. Y'all are going, did he just say there's gambling in heaven? We'll skip over that, right over that, okay? And so, but yet he says that about you too. Oh, I'm getting excited. He entrusts the gospel with you. Oh, I'm getting scared. In our small group this morning at 9:30, somebody said, that's a really tall order to put on me. That's a lot of pressure. That's kind of scary. It is, except for the fact that he's also said that he's approved you. You are pre-approved. You are pre-approved to be entrusted with the gospel. You are pre-approved to have all the faith and understanding to be able to share the gospel. You are pre-approved because he has looked into your heart. Scripture says, he's looked into your heart. He knows you. He knows you're capable. He knows that he has equipped you to be able to do it. And you're like, I am not capable. Yeah, you're breathing. You're capable. Yes, you have lived life. You know who God is. You're capable of sharing your story. You said, here's where I was, and here's where I am, and here's how I got there in Christ Jesus. That's all you need. And guess what? I believe in all my heart that when you share that story, people are going to be amazed. Because when I share my story, and especially the people that know me, they are amazed at where I was and where I am and how I got there. And I know some of your stories, and we're all still a work in progress. It is the story of God and the story of us, and we're all still a work in progress. And why would we not tell those stories? And right now, somebody's already saying, my story's boring. Then go tell it to somebody else that has a boring story. Amen? Come on. If you don't think, I just really don't have an exciting story, I bet, okay, let's just do it by a show of hands. How many people don't think you have an exciting story? How many think your conversion to Christ in your life is boring? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few in the room. The rest of you are lying. Because I know there's more. Y'all argue this all the time. See, most people don't think they have a story. Well, go tell it so you can give them one. Maybe you're the reason they don't have a story yet. Thank you, Lord, for that revelation. See, the shepherds started the story among the people that already had stories. They just didn't know it yet. You are the plan. You are this idea of entrust. If we talk about this idea of faith, entrusting is you, and God has faith in you. That's his whole word. God has faith in you to share the good news of his son, Jesus Christ. And finally, I want to tell you this. I said it earlier, and I just want to say it again. When they had seen him, they spread the word, right? And all who heard it were amazed. I believe, here's where I think the problem is. Here's where I think there's only one disconnect for all of us in this passage of Scripture. Is because you have not had a true encounter with the risen Christ. And so you don't think you have a story to tell. Maybe you've come to church all of your life. You come to worship. You come to Sunday school. You go to small groups. You do your studies. You're knowledgeable. And as I've said for years, because we heard it, we read it. I don't know how we got it, but you have all the knowledge you need. You don't need any more knowledge. You need experience. You know all the right words. You know all the prayers. You know all the Sunday school stories. You know all the, you know the disciples. You know them by name. You know the first four books of the Bible. Okay, you know you've been baptized. I mean, just whatever you want to say. But you've never really had a true encounter with the risen Christ. And what I would say to you is that top part, okay, seen. You need to ask him to reveal himself to you. Because when he does, you're going to want to tell somebody. You're going to want to show somebody. And they will really already know it because you will change. You will be different. And it may be a lightning bolt experience, and it may be just a still small voice, but I promise you it will make a difference. That's where you need your story. When they had seen him, when they had encountered Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, the good news, they said they went and told. And I believe that people will be amazed because it is good news of great joy when you make it personal. Well, and this is the shepherd's story. They made it personal. They went and told, and it was for them, okay? It was for how they were living their lives. It was for all of the people around them. It was for them. It was for us. It was for the next generation. It was for the young. It was for the old. It was for the Gentiles. It was for the Jews. It was for the believers and the non-believers. It was even for your next door neighbor, whether you believe it or not. Right? It was for somebody in your family. It was for your enemy. It was for your frenemy, right? It was for everybody. Today, it's for everybody, and we are the shepherds, okay? We are the story of God continuing on into eternity. The question is, has it made a difference in your life? Has it made a difference in my life enough to know that I need to go share it? And for me, it has. Not about being a pastor. Being a pastor isn't the story. Being a pastor is an end, is the means to the end. Being a pastor is just for me to share the story of God in my life and in all of our lives with somebody else. Because that's where it matters. And so when you invite somebody to Christmas Eve, it is about getting them here. It is about getting them introduced. And whether it's Christmas Eve or whether it's next year, or whether it's to a Bible study, or whether it's to a retreat, or whatever. It really is just to say, here's what I know. Here's who I know. Let me just introduce them to you. Remember I said, Scripture says, it's about following first, and then we'll work out all the details. It's about just getting somebody to say, let me come see, right? Let me come see Jesus, and then you leave it up to the Lord. Leave it up to all of us. To really show them to start transforming their lives. So, are you a shepherd still out in the field, or are you a shepherd telling people? It's up to you to make a difference. Lord, let's just pray that the Lord would use us to make a difference. Lord God, it is up to us. And it is, even for me, just if I just think about the physical church, it is a tall order. It is a little overwhelming. It's a little scary when I think of all that you really want us to do and how we are to carry it out. To have the understanding that you are having faith in us grow your kingdom. My hope is, Lord, that every person will be asking for an opportunity to share. It might even just be in their own family. It might be at their school. It might be at their workplace. It might be when they go for a gathering with other like-minded people for a hobby or for a sporting event. Your kingdom will not grow without us going and telling. Lord, let us be like the shepherds, wide-eyed with wonder, and just really sharing their story. Not theologians, not pastors or preachers, just sharing their story of how they encountered Christ. Lord, you do the rest. Father, for everybody in this room, if they've not had a true encounter with you, Lord, I pray that they would. I pray that you would just powerfully, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I call upon you to have a powerful encounter, to make a powerful experience for every person in this room. Because, Lord, we want to be the changing principle in Lubbock, Texas, for you. Let it be so, all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church, if you agree with that, if you want that encounter, if you want that experience, if you want to be able to share that with somebody, then you just pray in agreement with me and say, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.